And his heart would a little bit feel better, and he would feel a little bit happier because he was riding the horsey, and that made him feel good. So he wouldn't think so much about what he did and what he's done. One day, Yaakov was in his beautiful house, and his mind and his heart started to bother him. He started remembering his family, his friends, learning Torah, going to shul, mitzvahs, sukkah, Shabbos, Hanukkah, Purim. He started thinking to himself, what did I do? What did I do? And of course, he remembered how big a professor he was and how important he was. And he didn't want to go back and forth like this, so he ran out to his horse. I'm going to ride my horse and forget about this. I don't want to think these thoughts. Sometimes a person just wants to run away from himself. And that's what Yaakov kept doing, running away from himself, not really dealing with what he had to deal with inside. Some people do that. They just run away from themselves, and they go running out to their horsey or whatever is going to make them feel better and try to forget. And he goes on his horse. It was a beautiful day, and he says, I'm going to go riding into the beautiful countryside on the nice hills and on the roads that I like to go to. And the horsey is going, and all of a sudden he says, there's a big mountain over there, and it's got a beautiful view. You can see very far away. I'm going to go with the horsey up the mountain and go to the top of the mountain to see the beautiful view. And as the horsey is going up and up and up and up, and as the horsey is going, all of a sudden, they got to a part of the road, and Yaakov wanted to go just at a regular pace because it was a nice road with nice trees, and the horse starts to go very fast. Wow. Now, Yaakov knew how you ride a horse and how you make a horse go fast or slow or turn, and he starts to try to slow the horse down, and the horse is not slowing down. And the horse is going faster and faster. And Yaakov is getting now afraid. What is going on? Why is this horse going so fast? I never had this with this horse. This horse always is a good horse, and he knows what to do when I ride him. And nothing he was doing was stopping the horse, and the horse was going and going faster and faster, and he was getting towards the edge of a cliff. He was already, okay, the horsey ran off the road. He was just going through trees and through the forest without a road, couldn't stop, and he's coming to the edge of the mountain. And by the edge of the mountain, it was a very big, gigantic drop when you come to the very edge, and the horse was not slowing down. And Yaakov saw that he only has a few seconds left because that horse is not stopping. And when he gets to the edge, that's the end of him. Because there's only one way when you get to the edge, is straight down. And all of a sudden, Yaakov, in just a few seconds, he thinks to himself, why is this happening to me? It must be because I went away from my Yiddishkeit. I took off my yarmulke, I shaved off my beard, I took off my tzitzis, I went away from Shabbos and tefillin, and I'm doing all the things I shouldn't do. Oh, Hashem is punishing me. Oh, Yiddish, I'm sorry, Hashem. And he starts to say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Elkin, Hashem, Echad. And he starts to say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Elkin, Hashem, Echad. Oh, I didn't say it for so long, for years. And then he sees he's coming, Mama, to the end of the mountain. And he's going to go over the mountain, Chas Shalom. And he says, Hashem, I'm sorry. Please help me, save me. If you save me, I'll come back and do tshuva, Hashem, please. And he closes his eyes. And all of a sudden, the horsey stops. He stops so fast. That horsey stops so fast right by the edge of the mountain. Right before the very edge. One more step, one more horsey step, and it was the end. a big gigantic drop, but the horse had stopped in the last inch of the mountain. Yaakov could not believe it. He pulled the horse to go back. The horse went back. He was now safe. And a strange thing happened. For the first time in many years, he felt really deep down inside completely happy. And he says, that's strange. All these years that I've had so much honor and so much recognition and fame and wealth and all these things in university, I was happy, I felt so proud, but there was just something missing the whole time. All of a sudden, I feel now, I'm completely happy. I'm really doing the right thing. Do you know what makes a... Do you know what makes a person really happy? When he's doing the right thing. Do you know what makes a person feel unhappy? If they're doing the wrong thing. You cannot fool, you can fool everybody in the world, but you cannot fool really yourself deep down inside. Just like you cannot fool Hashem. If you're doing the wrong thing, you will not be really happy. You might think you are, but you're not. And sooner or later you realize it. Yaakov rode right back to his house. Yaakov packed up a little suitcase, not a big one, because he's planning now to run away. Now, why can't he just leave? I'll tell you why. In those days, the biggest no-nos against the government was if a goy became a Jew. If a goy became a Jew, they would catch him, and I don't want to tell you what they would do to him. Now, if a Jew became a goy, chas v'shalom, this was like a big deal to them, and they said, this is okay. But let's say a yid went to a church, he got spritzed with that water, and all the goyim thought that he became a goy because he did that, and let's say he goes back to being a Jew, and they see him again with a beard and a yarmulke. This to them was absolutely the worst, and they would chas v'shalom track him down, and I don't want to say what they would do to him. Yaakov knew, first of all, he knew in his heart he must do tshuva and go back to be with Yidden again. But he knows he's in tremendous danger, because he had gone to the church, he had gotten spritzed without water, and now he's planning to grow back his beard, to put on a yarmulke again, and tzitzis, and go back to shul, and go back to daven and learn, and to go back to Torah mitzvahs and keep Shabbos, and eat kosher food, and completely be a Yorei Shamayim person back to Yiddishkeit. That's what he decided 100% no matter what. But he knows he's in big danger. And he's not going to run away fast with a big suitcase, so he's going to pack a little suitcase. And on the way out of the door, he remembers, whoever travels in Russia, they have to have a passport. They have to have a special, like a book, to show who they are, where they live. And he says, if I take my passport, I'm going to be in very big trouble. Now, Yaakov, he packed up a small suitcase, and he knows he's in danger, and I'm going to tell you why. Because when he disappears from the university, they're going to think something is fishy over here. Why did Yaakov disappear from the university? Well, they're going to start worrying, but then they're going to get suspicious. After all, he was a Jew. And who knows, maybe he went back to being a Jew after he went to the church to get spritzed. Which means he is doing a very big no-no. Which means that from the university they're going to go to the chief of police in the police station. And they're going to report that Yaakov is missing and all of a sudden he disappeared. Which means the chief of police is going to order a gigantic search to find Yaakov. Which means that wherever Yaakov goes, people will be out to find him. Because they're suspicious that maybe he went back to being a Jew. Which means that if they catch him, I don't even want to tell you what's going to happen. Now, if he takes his passport with him, with his name, and they're going to find him, he is finished. Well, if he doesn't take his passport, he's also in trouble, because anybody without a passport is in big trouble. If you don't have a passport and they catch you, and many times they're searching, a police is standing on the road and he says, pull out your passport and show me your papers. They did that all the time. You are in big trouble. But he says, look, if I take my passport and it has my name for sure, then I'm finished. If I don't have a passport and they don't know who I am, well, they might put me in jail, but they're not going to find out who I am. They'll just know I don't have papers to show who I am, but they're not going to know who I am. My passport will show them who I am. So he took his passport and he buried it in the ground that nobody should find it. And he's traveling without a passport. And Yaakov runs away and he goes from place to place. And as he's traveling, Baruch Hashem, he got a yarmulke. He went to a place and he bought tzitzis. He was now eating only kosher food. He got a sitter. And of course, each time he went anywhere, he's looking all around. Nobody should be looking for him, especially police or soldiers or spies or whatever. He was very, you know, he was afraid. He was nervous and he was davening to Hashem, please help me to do tshuva, Hashem. If a person does tshuva, I know you help them. Please help me. And he goes from place to place. He sleeps under a tree, or he sleeps in a Yiddish hotel, or he sleeps in different places, and he goes, and he's traveling, and as the time goes, his beard is growing back. And he finds a hat, and a long coat. And Baruch Hashem, now, he's back to feeling he's doing tshuva. He feels close to Hashem. But he's still afraid, because he knows they're probably looking for him. Now, sure enough, the police found out that this Yaakov disappeared from the university, and they were suspicious, and they're looking all over. There are police all over the country going to look for him. And each one has a picture of him. Now, they did have pictures in those days. I don't know if it was camera pictures or hand-drawn pictures, but they had a picture of Yaakov in the university. What did Yaakov look like in the university when they took the picture? Did he have a beard? Did he have a hat? No. But he had his face. Did he have his face? Yeah. It had a picture of him in a suit, the way he looked as a professor. And now, the police are going all around with a picture, searching all over the place, suspicious that a Jew has gone to the church and now has gone back to being a Jew, which according to them is such a serious no-no. I don't want to tell you what's going to happen. One day, Yaakov is in a Yiddish hotel, and he was staying there overnight as he's traveling, and he was eating lunch in the hotel, and all of a sudden, a group of policemen burst into the hotel, and they order everybody to freeze, stay where you are, because we are now going to check papers and see who you are. And Yaakov saw that they had also in their hands pictures. And they're looking at the picture, and they're looking at a face, and they're looking at the picture, and they're looking at the face. And they're checking everybody's papers. What's your name? Look at me, let's see your face. They check the picture. He saw it was his picture in the university. And they're checking everybody's face to see if that's the face that's in the picture. And all of a sudden they come to Yaakov. Show us your papers. I'm sorry, I lost my papers. Lost the papers? Nobody loses papers. What happened to your papers? I'm sorry, they got lost. I don't have papers. I'm sorry, I got robbed. I was traveling and a robber came and took my stuff. He took my whole bag and my papers. I don't have my papers. What? You don't have your papers? Where are your papers? I just told you I got robbed and the robber took my... I was traveling, I was going in the road, the robber took my papers. I have no papers. He took my money, he took my clothes, took my papers. Oh! Well, you have to go to police. You don't have papers. But let's see. Here is picture, here is face. He talks to his other friend, the policeman, Vladimir, what do you think, this picture and this face? Vladimir says, could be, could not, I don't know. Well, you're coming with us. And they take Yaakov now to the police station. And Yaakov, of course, is, you know, very nervous because they are now taking him to the police station, the local police station over there, to the chief of police near the hotel, and they have the pictures in the hand. And now they take Yaakov in front of the chief of police there, and there's a lot of policemen there holding pictures. Aha, look! Here is picture, here is man with face, he has beard, but look at face. Where are your papers? I don't have papers. What? You had? Everybody has to have papers. I was robbed. I was going in the road. I'm traveling, and a robber took all of my things. Oh, we'll get to that later. That might be. We'll get to that issue later of your papers. It might not be as bad as what's going to happen now with this face here. Okay, well, they gave to the chief of police the picture. And he, of course, is the boss, and he will decide. And now the chief of police says to Yaakov, stand by this wall in the light. I want to see your face. And he takes the picture and he looks at Yaakov being in the university. And all of a sudden, this is exactly what happened. Of course, this is the main part of the story, but it's noisy outside, so I know this is the main part of the story. All of a sudden, the chief of police looks at the face. And he says, on! You know what means on? It's him! And all the policemen say, on, on! It's him! And then the chief of police looks again and he says, Nyet on! It's not him! And all the policemen say, Nyet on, it's not him. Because nobody was sure. And all of the chief of police looks at the picture again, on, on, on! It's him! And all the policemen say, yeah, on, on! Because, you know, they respected the chief of police. If he's going to say it's him, well, it's him! And then the chief of police shakes his head, Nyet on, it's not him. And all the policemen say, Nyet on, it's not him. And it goes back and forth until finally, the chief of police looks again at the picture and he says, Nyet on, it's not him. And all the policemen say, Nyet on, it's not him. And they decided it's not him. And they let Yaakov go. They believed his story that he got robbed. He didn't have his papers. I guess he had to go to an office and get the face. Maybe he got new papers. I don't know what happened exactly. But they believed that it was not him. They believed that Yaakov was not the Yaakov in the picture. He said, Nyet on. And now Yaakov is able to go. Exactly what happened with the paper situation, I don't know. Now, Kenelach, the end of the story, do you know where Yaakov went? He did not just go back to his hometown. Where do you think he went after this? Where do you think he went after this?
To the Alter Rebbe.
Well, it wasn't exactly the time of the Alter Rebbe. Which Rebbe was the one? Which Rebbe was the one that in Yechidus, it was so strange when he did it, he said, on, yet on, and now, of course, Yaakov saw that this was Ruach HaKadosh. Where do you think Yaakov went now? Well, he didn't go that far back, traveling in time exactly, but there was a different Rebbe. Which Rebbe did he go to? Can you tell me, please?
The Rebbe Rashab.
The Rebbe Rashab. He went to the Rebbe Rashab. Our Hashem, Melech HaOlam, the King of the World, Sheloi Osani Isha, that you did not make me a woman. Now, the girls and the women do not say this bracha. How can they say, I thank you, Hashem, that you did not make me an Isha, if she is an Isha? They say, Sha'asali Kiritsoinoi. I thank you, Hashem, you made me the way you wanted. That's what they say. Now, let me ask a few questions to boys who have their hands up, and I'm going to invite them up here. Why do you think we make a bracha thanking Hashem that we're not a lady? Why do you think? Now, I want you to say whatever you...
If you thank Hashem because you're not a lady, because if you're a lady, you get babies.
What's wrong with getting babies?
Then your stomach's going to get fat.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think we say a bracha that we're not a woman?
Because a woman, someone could do something, everyone could do something good, but...
Can women do anything good?
Yeah, but men could also, so we thank Hashem what we are, so it's not really like you're saying that we're not, it's when we do it, it's like we're just trying to do more Torah mitzvah.
Why shouldn't a woman say, I thank Hashem, I'm not a man then? Because then we say, I thank Hashem, I'm not a woman. A woman should say, I thank Hashem, I'm not a man.
Because
or let's say a bracha, I thank you Hashem, I am what I am. Why do you say, I'm not something? Okay, let's take two brothers. Both brothers are going to go to the family on a trip. Let's say they're going to go to an amusement park, or they're going to go to a fun place, a real fun place. Shh. Two brothers. One brother is wild. One brother can get himself into trouble. The other brother is much more well-behaved, much more able, nice, refined, takes care of himself. So when they get to the big place on the trip, Mommy and Tati tell the boy who behaves better, you can go on your own. We'll meet you back here in a certain time. Here's money to spend. Of course, you know how to behave, and there's a few rules, don't go out of the place, don't go anywhere where it's dangerous, and behave yourself nicely and say please and thank you. And they give the boy money, and maybe he goes with another friend or another brother and sister, and they go on their own. They can have a good time. And the other brother, who does not behave himself so good, he says, give me money, Mommy and Daddy. I want to go and have a good time now. Oh, no. You're staying with us. And we're going to make a whole bunch of rules for you, exactly what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. We have to be close by watching you. We're not going to let you go by yourself at all. And you have these rules about how to eat, and now how not to eat, and what to buy, what not to buy. Why so many rules for me, Mommy and Tati? My brother went. You didn't give him a bunch of rules. Well, the fact is, I don't know if they're going to tell the kid this way. I don't want to make him feel bad. It's a fun trip. But the one who behaves himself nicer, he needs a few rules, and he'll be fine. The kid who is more wild and more in the control of his Yetzirah, possibly, he needs a lot more rules and a lot more looking after. And Mommy and Tati have to watch him every minute and see that he does exactly this and he doesn't do that, or else he'll get himself into big trouble. Now, which boy is on a higher level in Ruchnius? The one who can go on his own and take care of himself with a few rules? Or the boy who needs many, many, many rules, because every little thing you have to explain to him and give him a rule, and if not, the Yetzirah is going to take over and he's going to get himself in big trouble. Like sometimes you turn your head around for a minute like that and they're gone. Where'd he go? And he's running around somewhere and you have to go catch him. You have to watch him every minute. Make sure. You're not allowed to do that. You have to do this. You have to stand like this. Don't go there. Don't put your hands there. Don't stick your hands in the water. And don't touch that. And don't stick your head through the fence. I mean, all kinds of things. Which one is on a higher level?
The one that needs a few rules.
That's right. Now, which one feels good about being in the amusement park, and which one feels a little bit not so good about being in the amusement park? Which boy feels good now And which boy feels a little bit not so good?
The boy that needs the fuels.
He feels what?
Good.
And the boy who needs so many rules?
Feels bad.
A little bit upset.
He's a little bit upset? Okay. Now, what if the boy who has many rules is going to realize, why do I have to have so many rules? Because they're for my good. In other words, I need those rules in order to behave myself in the proper way. Is he going to be angry at his parents, or he's going to be thankful to his parents that they gave him so many rules? In other words, everybody is different. He needs those rules. Because the parents love him, because the parents love that child, and they know that's what the child needs, that's why they give him the rules. Are they giving him the rules just to drain him a cup and punish him and be mean? Or because the parents love him and they say, look, we know he needs those extra rules. The first one, the way Hashem made him, he doesn't need those rules. He doesn't have to be explained every little thing. He'll behave nicely on his own. But the other child, because he's in a different way, we have to make sure he has all these rules, all these details, explain everything, and it's for his own good. Now, if the child realizes it's for his own good, will he be angry at his parents or thank his parents? If the child who needs all the rules will realize it's for his own good and the parents are doing it because the parents love him, will they be upset at the parents for dragging him around and having to be so close to him and watch him every minute? Or are they going to be, is he going to be thankful?
Thankful.
Thankful. This is a story that is a true story. It's a mashal to teach you something. I'm going to explain. Okay. The first boy in the story, the first child in the story is the women, the ladies. The parents in the story are like Hashem. Hashem put two kinds of people in the world. Man people and lady people. Just like the parents go to the amusement park, the fun place. Of course, this is Hashem's garden, and hopefully there's a lot of good things to do in this world. There are two kinds of people in this world, man people and lady people. The first child I told you about, who behaves themselves better, they have a nicer nature, they're more edel, more refined, less likely to get in trouble, are lady people. So Hashem gave them less mitzvahs. He gave them a few mitzvahs. He said, ladies have to do this, ladies have to do that. They don't do this and they don't do that. And there are not as many mitzvahs for a lady as a man because Hashem knows they don't need so many rules. They will behave themselves nicely in Hashem's way and Hashem will have much nachas from them and they'll be able to do what Hashem wants with less rules. But the men have a different nature. There is more Yetzihara to men. We're more likely to get ourselves in trouble in this world. So what does Hashem do to make sure we don't? He gives us more mitzvahs. And that's like the wilder kid who has to have many more things told by the parents, do this and don't do that, and we're watching over you, and we're very close to you and watching you. Now, are we going to get upset at Hashem that, look, Hashem, you gave us so many mitzvahs to do? Or if we realize it's for our own good, and Hashem gives it because he loves us and it's for our own good, we will be thankful to Hashem for having more mitzvahs. Are we going to complain that we have more things to do? Look, we're going to say the ladies are lucky. They don't have to do this. They don't have to do that. They don't put on tefillin. They don't have to wear tzitzis. Or are we going to say, I thank Hashem he gave me more mitzvahs and I know that's for our own good. What are we going to do?
Thank Hashem.
Thank Hashem. And when do we thank Hashem for giving us more mitzvahs? What do we say in the morning in Birchos HaShachar? To thank Hashem, I thank you Hashem that you gave me more mitzvahs because I need it. Because otherwise I'm going to get myself in big trouble. When do we thank Hashem?
Right when you wake up.
Well, okay, but what bracha do we say in the Birchos HaShachar that we thank Hashem that we have so many more mitzvahs because we need so many more mitzvahs? When is that?